Well, good morning. What a privilege it is to be together this morning to praise Him. It's good to see so many who are able to be out here with us at Eastside to do exactly that, to glorify our King and our Heavenly Father. We have been extraordinarily blessed in so many ways. He has been so good to us in so many ways, and it is an honor and a privilege to be here to honor Him. So thank you for being here to do that. In our world today, the concept of an all-powerful, true and living God is pretty much evaporating. Our world is convinced, it seems to me, that science and technology and politics can solve most, if not all, of our problems and meet all of our needs. So to the world, God, if He even exists, is too deaf to hear our cries, too blind to see our misery, and too weak to reach out and help us. That is not the God of the Bible. It is not the true and living God. It is not the God that we believe in. On January 5th, 2020, we began this year at Eastside setting the theme, Our God is So Big. And we asked the question in that lesson, how big is your God? That depends, from your perception at least, on how big a role He plays in your life. If you can see God as big enough to put the stars in the heavens, is He not also big enough to arrange your life, to forgive your sins, to handle your problems, and to meet your needs? If you can see God as loving enough to give His only begotten Son, is He also not big enough and loving enough for you to give Him your life? If you can see Him as big enough to lead Israel out of Egyptian bondage, is He also not big enough to lead you out of the things that bind you and enslave you in this world? Is He not big enough to free you from your sins? And if you can see God as big enough to be worthy of honor and worship, is He then not also big enough for your total commitment to Him? Is He not big enough to deserve your praise? If He deserves any of it, doesn't He deserve all of it? Those are questions that we ask at the first of the year, and I believe they still stand. And I believe that in the year that is passing, we have seen, if we've been observing and living lives of faith, that God is bigger than we thought. He's big enough to handle all of those things and more. God's size, I want you to understand, as far as we're concerned, is a matter of perspective. In reality, of course, His size is immeasurable. We can't even begin to get our heads around that. Solomon, when he was dedicating the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, says that the heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. Can we imagine that kind of size? I don't think we can. So the reality of God's size is beyond our comprehension, but our perception of His size depends on our perspective. The nearer we are to Him, the larger He looms, the bigger He appears to be, and in fact, the better our understanding of how big He is. If we are far away from God, He seems to be small, but as we draw near to Him, we get some idea of His actual size. We are often exhorted in Scripture, and we'll be looking at this a little bit this morning, to magnify the Lord. When you magnify something, you realize you don't actually make it any bigger. You look at something through a microscope or through a telescope, you're not making that thing any bigger. But you are getting a much clearer perception of the reality of that thing. So when we magnify God, we are merely increasing our perception of Him. God has provided us in the world around us and through His Word a telescopic lens. We put that telescope on, you know, the stars, and wow, that's a lot bigger than we thought. Jupiter and Saturn were visible to the naked eye in the skies just recently. And you could look and see, and maybe if you had a lens on your camera, you could get a little bit closer. Maybe if you got out your telescope, you could actually see the rings of Saturn. And realize those things are a lot bigger than we thought, than we had perceived before. And that's how God is when we look at Him through the lens of His Word and through the lens of His creation. So, how big is your God? Again, we're not necessarily asking how big He actually is, but how do you perceive Him? If you have a big God in your life, your problems and your fears will be very, very small because He is so big. The bigger God gets, the smaller our problems become. So many of us have had a lot of anxieties in 2020, especially surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic. We have feared perhaps being isolated, and we were for a while. Some who have fragile immune systems have been very concerned about catching the virus or about spending time in the hospital alone. Some have experienced the outcomes of the virus in ways that those of us who haven't experienced really can't even imagine. Dealing with the illness themselves, maybe being put in the hospital. We've had several here who've had to spend time in the hospital. Some who have lost loved ones. And the fears that we had about the virus came home to roost in our lives. And we experienced them and saw them. There have been other concerns in our lives during this year. Concerns about the economy, social unrest, political shenanigans. There have been plenty of those. Lots of things to be concerned about. Lots of things to be afraid of. And on top of all of that, life continues to bring its usual share of problems and fears and concerns. And some of them are bigger than COVID in your life. Maybe concerns about relationships and finances and heartaches, physical struggles, other tragedies that have been big in your life. Do you see that God has been big enough to handle all those problems? All of those fears, even the ones that came to fruition, He's been big enough to handle those. If you're close enough to Him. If you see Him as He is. We'd like to go this morning to really a number of Psalms and just look at what they tell us about the size of God in comparison to our fears. We're going to start in Psalm 34. This is a Psalm of David. And David says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name forever. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles." There are three things I'd like to point out to you about this psalm. First of all, magnifying God is something we do to benefit others. We need to be aware as Christians that others are looking at us and our faith and our perception of God. Our children, our friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we act like our troubles are way bigger than God, then that's how they begin to perceive God as well. But the psalmist says in verse 2, "My soul will make its boast in the Lord." Here's the big thing. Here's what I am magnifying. "My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear of it and be glad. In Jude 20 and verse 20 and 21, Jude says, "You, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and eternal life." We need to be building ourselves up in the faith as we go through difficulties, whatever it is that we're facing. And that will have an effect on others. The humble will hear of it and see it and be glad, and they'll be uplifted. Magnifying God is something we do for others. Magnifying God is something that we do together and that we need to be doing together continually here as people of faith at Eastside. Notice again in verse 3, "Magnify the Lord with me." Let's do this together. Let us exalt His name together. Let's continually talk about how great God is and how He's with us in our difficulties and giving us hope for the future, as we talked about recently in a sermon. Magnifying God is something we do together. Magnifying God is something we do because He has delivered us from our fears. Can you think about what you were afraid of at the first of the year? Maybe back further in your life. I remember when I was a teenager, I had all kinds of worries and concerns about the future. Maybe you did too. Of course, the Lord was with me through all of those. They wound up being a lot smaller than I thought they were going to be. You can think back in your life, especially if you're a person of faith, and realize how God has helped you through so much, and all of those things that you were so concerned about at one point, how many of them turned out to be not even being worth concerned being about. Someone has said that 90% of the things we worry about don't happen anyway. The psalmist says here, "I sought the Lord, He heard me, He delivered me from all my fears." Doesn't say that some of your fears don't come true. They do. They do. But we're delivered through them anyway. We'll talk about that some more in just a little bit. But I can remember fearing things, being concerned about things that did happen. God was with me anyway. And going through those things with God by your side winds up, He was a lot bigger than those fears were, even when they came to happen. There's another psalm I want to see in conjunction with this. It's the 27th. And it kind of deals with this, how that we can rely on God in the present because He has helped us in the past, and that gives us a bright view of the future as well, come what may. And so the 27th Psalm starts like this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" He's talking in the present tense, isn't he? He knows that God is his strength. He knows that God is with him. He knows that God is by his side. So come what may today, God is with me. God is with me. And then he says, God has helped in the past. Psalm 27 and verse 2. "When the wicked came against me to eat at my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell." So here the psalmist has experienced a lot of problems in the past, but God was with him through those. And he realizes, "Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." He's confident no matter what happens today because of what happened yesterday, because God was with him in the things that he had to face. Seeing God's hand in our past can help us trust God in our present. And God has been there for us in our past. Remember the little poem someone wrote years ago, and two people are walking along together. It's Christ and a believer. And they kind of get to the end of the road, and the believer looks back and he says, "Wow, you were with me through a lot of my life, Lord, but I see in the hard times back there, the rough roads and the rocky places, all of a sudden there's only one set of footprints. What happened there, Lord?" And the Lord says, "Well, that's where I carried you." We look back on our lives. We've been through some rough times, maybe. All of us have. But the times that we made it through that were especially difficult, those are the times the Lord carried us. The psalmist sees that. He knows that the Lord helped him through those times. And then he says, not only does our God guide us in the past, but also, because He has done that, and we know He's done that, He will help us in the future. So look at verses 4 and 5 now of Psalm 27. He says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord." So here's this one thing that if you keep this in mind, whatever happens in the future, going to be okay. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. As we think about our fears for the future, what might happen with this COVID thing? What's going to happen with our political situation? What's going to happen in the challenges we may have here at Eastside? The way the devil tries to attack us in time's future. What's going to happen in our families? Psalmist says, you know what? If I can be with God, this one thing, if I can be near Him, it really doesn't matter what's going to happen in the future. Because God's going to be with me. And the big question about the future is not what's going to happen, but whatever happens, will it bring me closer to God? And when that's my one thing, when that's my big concern about the future, can I be closer to God in the future? Then whether I'm showered with blessings of ease and comfort and joy, or sickness and pain and struggle and death, I can still be closer to God. And if that's your one thing, what are you afraid of? God has it handled. Because He's big. He's really big. There is no trouble that's too big for God. There just isn't. Look now with me at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, and we'll read verses 1 through 7. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore I will not fear, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He is a very present help. If we have sought to be close to Him, He is then close to us to help us come what may. And He quells our fears. He is bigger than the moment that terrifies me. His presence makes it possible for me to face that fear. Even though, as David writes in Psalm 23, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. If God is with you, and you are with Him, not really much to be afraid of. In Psalm 56 and verse 3, then the psalmist says, whenever I am afraid, the ESV says when, doesn't matter. Whatever time it is that you're afraid of something, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God I will praise His word. In God I put my trust. I will not fear. Because God can handle the worst that can happen. Look at verses 2 and 3. We will not fear even though the earth be removed. See all these doomsday prophecies. Oh, the world's coming to an end. You know, we're going to be hit by a meteor, or global warming's going to burn up the planet, or whatever it is. Well, I'm not sure that any of that's going to happen. I think the world's going to end like God said it would with the coming of His Son. But what if the world comes to an end? What if? Well, someday it will. Even though the earth be removed, God's there. God's bigger than that. You see, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the psalmist there says. The holy place where God is, His tabernacle, His dwelling. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. Whatever happens to the earth and the skies and the seas, where God is, she shall not be moved. We can count on that. But the Apostle Paul knew this feeling all too well. A feeling of a lot of trouble, a lot of turmoil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he writes about a time in his life. He had written a letter previously to the church at Corinth. It had been a really scathing letter, and he was somewhat concerned, to say the least, about how it would be received, whether people would just reject it and continue in their sins, or turn away from the truth, turn away from him, hate him for what he'd said. You know, there could have been a lot of different outcomes to that letter of 1 Corinthians. So in 2 Corinthians, he writes this. He says in verse chapter 7 and verse 5, indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Nevertheless, God. It's another one of those, well, this is horrible stuff that's going on, stuff we can't handle, stuff we can't deal with, but God. But God intervenes. But God injects Himself into the situation. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, not only by his coming, but also by the consolation which he was comforted in you, in that he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, and so we rejoiced even more. All of these things that were pressuring Paul, the circumstances he was in, the concern he had for his loved ones at Corinth, all of those anxieties and fears that he had, snap, they were gone because of God. He could deal with them. There are people in this room right now who have great concern for the spiritual well-being of loved ones. God can take care of that. There are people in this room right now who have great concern about things that are presently going on in your life. Pressures and stresses. Maybe distancing from people, not only physically, but emotionally. God can handle that. He's bigger than all of that. Paul learned that. And as we've said earlier, even if the worst that can happen is what actually happens, if you're with God, you can get through it. We quote Revelation 2 and verse 10 fairly often, where we tell people, you know, you're supposed to be faithful unto death. So you become a Christian, and then you're faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That's such a great bit of encouragement. Of course, we seldom ever quote the first part of that verse. Revelation 2 and verse 10, which is Jesus talking to the church at Smyrna, says, do not fear those things that you are about to suffer. You're going to go through some stuff here. You're not going to like it. Don't fear those things that you're about to suffer. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you're going to be tested. How would you like that? You know, you can just imagine the worst thing you can think of a Christian in the first century as far as what your day-to-day fears might, well, they're going to come in here, break into my house, and haul me and my family off and throw us in prison. Or maybe just haul the parents off and leave my kids at the house and throw us in prison. And eventually we're going to be tried before Caesar and thrown to the lions. And, you know, I'm a little concerned about that. And Jesus says, don't worry, don't fear. That's actually going to happen. Did you get that? That's what's going to happen. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. God can stop the things that you fear from happening. Lots of times He does. But God can strengthen you to get through those things as well. Or maybe you don't make it through those things. Maybe it's until death. Guess what? You've got a crown of life. What are we afraid of? He says, you're going to go through it. Don't fear. Just be faithful. God enables us to conquer the unconquerable, to overcome the overwhelming so many times in our lives. That's the norm. That's what typically happens, though, isn't it? Even though maybe we don't see that, even though we don't have a lot of faith in that, we should. God enables us to do much more and go through much more and conquer much more than we think possible. The children of Israel, whom God, you know, sprung out of Egyptian bondage through these 10 amazing miracles, then leads them through the Red Sea, then brings them to Sinai, and then He takes them up to a point where, okay, we're ready to enter the Promised Land. We're going to send 12 spies up in there to, you know, find out what's going on. And 12 spies go up and they come back, and at least 10 of them bring a really bad report. We can't do it. No way. We can't conquer this. You know, even though God has done all of this for us and shown us all these great signs and miracles and been so powerful and our helper and is feeding us and taking care of us, and we can't do this. No way. Because, they say in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33, they saw the people of the land and they were so big and so strong and so powerful, and they dwelt in fortified cities, and the spies say, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Everybody focus with me. It's a problem of perception. We were small. They saw us as small. We see ourselves as small. We can't do this. It's not really the question of how you see yourself. We're all small. The question is, how do you see God? Because to God, according to Isaiah 40 and verse 22, all the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. We're all grasshoppers to Him. However big the people were in Canaan, they were grasshoppers to God. You don't think God could handle them? The Israelites' problem was not really the perception that they had of themselves or even the perception that they had of these people in the land. It was their perception of God, before whom we all are grasshoppers. How big is your God? That's the question. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, there are just times in Scripture, I just tell you, I read it and I smile. And there are a few of these, maybe I'll do a lesson on these at some point. The great I told you so's of Scripture. So Moses is talking to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 1. This is way after the spies. In fact, they've already gone through all of the wilderness wanderings. They're in the plains of Moab. They're just about to enter the promised land. It's just going to be days from when Moses is saying this that they're going to get to go in the promised land. And Moses, in one of the greatest I told you so's of all times, is causing them to remember that time that the spies brought this bad report. And he says in Deuteronomy 1 and verse 29, "Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them." Don't be afraid of these people. The King James Version says, he told them, "Dread not." You got nothing to dread, and they didn't. They didn't. In Psalm 40 and verse 16, the psalmist just tells us to magnify the Lord. "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." Let's say that as a mantra over and over and over again. Let's see how big God is. And everything else will be small. Are you afraid of what's going to come with the passing of time? Can I tell you that God is bigger than time? From everlasting to everlasting, He's God. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you afraid that there's going to be some storm or tragedy or evil event in your life that you can't weather? Can I tell you that God is bigger than the storm, whatever it is? When Jesus said, "Peace be still," the storm stopped. Are you afraid of death? Can I tell you that God is bigger than the grave? Way bigger. Where is the sting of death? Sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Our God is so big. I hope we've learned something about that this year. I hope you know in your heart this morning that He's way bigger than COVID. He's way bigger than political problems, than social unrest. He's so big. How big is He to you right now? He's bigger than the sum of our fears. If you put all of your fears together, pile them up in a basket or made a mountain out of them, God's way bigger than the sum of our fears. And whatever is troubling you this morning, whatever obstacle you see between you and eternity, God can help you. He sent His Son to die for you, who, by the amazing properties of His blood, can take away your sins. If you'll acknowledge Him as your Savior, turn away from those sins and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. And if you're a Christian this morning and there have been things that have just been overwhelming your life, please understand, God is bigger. Please turn to Him in faith. Please come while we stand and while we sing.